to see everyone out today after such a bad week. This morning, if you're following along, our text is going to come from Joshua, the 6th chapter, first verse on. In our second in our series of Victory in Jesus, taken from 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. Hebrews 11:1-3 also tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's kind of a profound statement, just to step away from the lesson a little bit. You know, scientists today are trying to go back and discover just when the universe started. And they say that all the matter in the universe was smaller than the smallest particle there ever was. Because they know that this universe really came from nothing, but they have trouble resolving that in their minds. Now they think that all this matter came across from some unseen dimension that we can't see. Even science has to acknowledge that the world came from nothing. But in Hebrews 11:3, we see just that in the written word. But back to our lesson. You know, faith that we have is that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith makes it possible for Jesus to testify to the Father about us. Without faith, he cannot give a good testimony. And faith that God created the world from nothing. That's faith directly that we're talking about here. And that faith is exhibited as being in some people and not being in some people. Faith is a result of knowing God, and knowing makes all the difference. As this young man in this story found out the hard way. At an afternoon tea for officers and their wives, the commanding general of the base delivered a seemingly endless oration. A young second lieutenant, listening with obvious disfavor, grumbled to the woman on his side, "What a pompous and unbearable old windbag that guy is." The woman next to him turned red with rage and said, "Lieutenant, do you know who I am?" "No, ma'am. I am the wife of the man you just called an unbearable old windbag." "Indeed," said the young lieutenant, looking steadfast and unruffled. "And do you know who I am?" "No, I don't," said the general's wife. All you heard was "thank God" as he disappeared into the crowd. Faith means never making mistakes like that. Faith means knowing the score and what's happening. Faith is the one word in the whole Bible that affects everything we do. Think about it. From the beginning, without faith in God, Adam and Eve trusted the serpent, had faith in the serpent, and took from the tree. It's not only a belief, but also a trust in God. Faith is a belief that causes one to follow and obey that which he believes. To act otherwise would be a lack of faith. The book of James presses forth the concept of a real faith, a faith that is not vain utterances of words, but one that is active in the life of the believer. Hebrews 11:30 tells us, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down and they were encircled for 7 days. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The walls of Jericho fell down. God had promised that those walls would fall if they followed his instructions. They believed, did as he commanded, and the promise was fulfilled. The principles of faith that we can learn from Joshua 6 and 1 following are these. And let's read our text first of all. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. That city was prepared for them. There was no sneak attack. No one had breached the wall or anything like that. They were securely shut up and waiting for battle. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." Listen to the way that God speaks here. He doesn't just, it's as if he's already done it. But he tells Joshua, I've already delivered that king into your hands. God knows it's going to happen. That's how the confidence is in his speaking to us. And that's the kind of confidence we should have when we're speaking. When we know that God is for certain things. And we know that God is going to do these things. But back into our text, verse 3. You shall march around the city, all of your men of war. You shall go around the city once, and you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets, or ram's horns, before the ark. But the seventh day shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Verse 5, it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of that trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, if you tell someone that today, that you're going to go around for 7 days, you're going to go once for the first 6 days, and then on the seventh day, you'll go around seven times, and there'll be a loud trumpet blast, and then you're going to shout, and those walls are going to fall down. How many people today you think would say, yeah, right, that's going to happen? But they trusted God. Joshua trusted God. When God said, I've already delivered it into your hands, Joshua trusted it that way. And we can trust God's promises that it's already delivered unto us if we're faithful. When Joshua succeeded Moses, God told him, Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do accordingly to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God's not telling him, here's a suggestion, take it if you want it. He's telling him, follow those commandments, and don't you turn right or don't you turn left, and success will be yours. We can't enjoy victory when we do not believe and do what God tells us to do. We can't have a happy life. We can't have a joyous life. We can't have a confident life. And we can't rest assured if there's doubt in our lives. And that's the thing we need to rid most of all in our lives, is all those little doubts. Faith without works is dead and is the devil's faith. In James 2:14-24, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, to the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, when a man is justified by works and not faith only. Faith trusts in the living and true God and in the promises thereof. Faith obeys God's commands exactly, immediately, and with great delight. People with this kind of faith shall experience victory. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous and be careful to do everything he was commanded. Before God's people, the walls of Jericho must collapse, for this was the promise of God himself. Nothing can stand before God. If you are living in a life that you feel is defeated or downtrodden, then listen to the word of God and believe it, and you shall be delivered. It is the destiny of the church to be triumphant. Now, this is not a call to glass or cars and boats and airplanes and mansions and that sort of thing, but that our lives, that we are loved by God, that God created us out of love for us to love him back. And despite what we do against him, he forgives us, and we have eternal life with him. We're also commanded, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We are not to solve problems by relying on our own thinking. If we look to God and God alone, God communicates with his people, and he'll tell them what to do. He communicates to us through his word, and we pray to him to communicate back. In Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. How many times have we listened to the counsel of ourselves or others? Look how Adam and Eve trusted the counsel of a snake, of a serpent. And look what he got them. If we trust God's counsel, we can never fail. We can never fall. Our life may not be a bed of roses, but while we're in the thorns of life, we can take joy that God is going to bring us out of that, that God is going to provide for us, that we're not going to get stuck in those thorns forever, but that God is going to be with us every step of the way. What was God's command to Joshua? To march around the city and then go straight. And once they did that, to blow the trumpet, and the city would fall, the walls would fall in every direction. Now, you might breach the walls of the city and go in through that one place, but God told them the whole walls are going to collapse. Now, that's quite a feat. That's quite a miracle. They didn't look at it as nonsense. They took God at his word, and they followed him. People today don't take God at his word very often. They take their own selves at their own word. You know, God gives us the victory. The Lord said to Joshua, see. He was telling him to look with faith. He's already delivered it in his hands. He's telling them to see it defeated, see it downtrodden, see it conquered. If we see with God's eyes, then we see at the end of our lives that we're in heaven with him. We see that our problems are not going to be here forever. We see that there's going to be a way for us to get out of our problems. We are going to see our triumph over this world. And we're going to overcome this world. Just as in 1 John 5:4 tells us. And God wants complete obedience out of us. He told them specifically how to march around the city. Once for the first six. The last day, seventh day, do it seven times. And blow the trumpet, a long trumpet. And then everyone gives a great shout about all at one time. They did that, and it fell. Now God could have defeated Jericho immediately. He did not need them to conquer them. He could have wiped it out. So God tests our faith, though. God tested their faith, that they would do what he said, even though it seemed maybe nonsensical. Maybe it seemed like totally absurd that that would result in them gaining that victory in there. But they enjoyed the victory because they did what God told them to. God taught them a great lesson, in that if they followed him, he would make it happen. Abraham was promised late in his life that his inhabitants would be like innumerable. And yet it was 25 years later when Isaac was born. 25 years he waited for that promise to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled. And there were right shouts and there were wrong shouts. On the seventh day, they had completed their seventh trip around the walled city. They gave the long blast, they gave the shout, gave the signal of that time. They all shouted and the walls fell. But there's another shout in the Old Testament, and that's in 1 Samuel 4. At that time, Israel was not living in obedience to God. That's the flip side of the faithful people. So they had been defeated by the Philistines. So the priests brought the ark into the camp, and everyone gave a great shout, but nothing happened. The point is, we can make all the noise we want. We can shout to the top of our lungs, but it means nothing unless we're moving to the words and the obedience of God. Then things will happen for us. God, you know, give God the glory, all that we can do and all that we've done. And don't let the enemy steal that away from us. God gave explicit instructions to kill everyone that breathes in the city of Jericho, then burn the whole city. But if you let the enemy live, he will come back to steal what you've got. He'll come back to steal your faith if you allow that. If we don't rid ourselves of sin in our lives and put it so far away that we don't see it anymore, it's going to creep back in and it's going to steal our faith. Before they crossed the Jordan, all the Israelites agreed to be obedient to God. The divine demand had been given. You must do everything that I tell you. Do not turn to the right or the left. They answer in Joshua 1:16-18, they answer Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. God governed his people, and they said he will obey. Where there is faith, there is order and organization. Faith results in unity, not in autonomy or rebellion or disagreement or negotiation. In 1 Samuel 15:22, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than any sacrifice that ever was. To obey means we're committed to God. To obey means we truly believe and have faith in Him. To say we have faith and yet do nothing in our lives that displays that faith or causes one to, or anyone to think that we have faith in our lives, that would be wrong. Faith is the victory. God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. No matter what the scientists and psychologists or philosophers say, we believe what God has spoken. So these people did not become weary. They trusted God, knowing that he who dried up the mighty Jordan was mighty enough to conquer Jericho. Faith is the victory. Pablo Picasso once said, I am always doing that which I cannot do in order that I may learn how to do it. We can always stretch our wings a little bit and learn something new. And faith will help us to know that God is going to help us to be successful in that. The last thing this morning, I'd like to read this. I found this. It was like a letter that God wrote to his people, or to anyone as an individual. And in it, he said, good morning. I am the Lord your God. Today, I will be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If the devil happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFJTD or the Something for Jesus to Do box. It will be addressed in my name, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it or attempt to remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation that you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer and be sure that it is the proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I'm only a prayer away. Love eternally, the Lord your God. I thought that was real nice, and I thought that summed it up, and I thought that said a lot about having faith in God. That we can rest assured and sleep well, that He is going to take care of us all the way until the end, whenever that may be. And that we can see our lives in that glorious heaven above. Just like Joshua saw with faith's eyes that God had already delivered that city to him. We can have that faith in our lives. And I hope this lesson helps you find that. I don't know what your needs may be this morning, but wherever they may be, won't you come as we stand and sing song invitation?